A Modest Independence, written by Mimi Matthews and read by Alex Wyndham.
Author's note. Colonial India has always been a source of great fascination to me. My paternal grandfather lived there before partition, when it was still under British rule. For non-whites like him, there was nothing romantic about the British Raj, and I had no intention of romanticizing it in my novel. When writing A Modest Independence, I attempted to portray Victorian-era India as it truly was, in all its good and bad. In doing so, I may have inadvertently used period words or descriptions that some might find offensive by modern standards. For this, I humbly apologize. To that end, a word on nomenclature. In my novel, the residents of various countries are often referred to as native Indians, native Egyptians, or just plain natives. This is a reference to their status as native-born citizens of a particular country, as opposed to colonial occupants of said country. It is not meant as a pejorative. Chapter 1. London, England, February 1860. Jenny Holloway raised the hood of her wool cloak up over her head. It was snowing in London. Little flurries that fell to the ground, disappearing in the icy black slush that was soaking through the hem of her sensible skirts as she stood outside the Fleet Street law offices of Mr. Thomas Finchley Esquire. She'd visited the unassuming building several times before and had no good reason to hesitate. It wasn't as if she was paying a call on a former beau, nor even on an estranged friend. Mr. Finchley was neither of those, not to her. At least, he was only a solicitor. More to the point, he was her solicitor, which made this a business matter. She stiffened her spine and made her way up the steps to the front door. A brass plaque fixed beside it bore the names of both Mr. Finchley and Mr. Keane, the solicitor who shared his offices. It was the latter who greeted her when she rang the bell.
"Miss Finchley!"
Mr. Keane's thin face lit up in recognition. Miss Finchley? Jenny blinked. Had Mr. Finchley told Mr. Keane that she was his sister?
"Do come in out of the cold."
Mr. Keane opened the door wide, standing back for her to enter before shutting it behind her. He assisted her out of her wet cloak.
"Finchley is occupied with a client. I daren't disturb him, but allow me to offer you a cup of tea."
He turned to address a weedy-looking young clerk hovering nearby.
"Tea, Mr. Poole. And here, put the lady's cloak by the fender to dry."
Jenny removed her bonnet and gloves, permitting the young man to take those as well.
"Is your brother expecting you, ma'am?" Mr. Keane asked.
Her brother? How absurd. The two of them looked nothing at all alike. She was tempted to correct Mr. Keane, but common sense kept her silent. There was no good reason to destroy whatever fiction Mr. Finchley had woven on her behalf, especially if it had been spun to protect her reputation. Besides, she wasn't likely to see Mr. Keane again after today. By this time tomorrow, she'd be on board a steamer bound for Calais. Providing Mr. Finchley cooperated, that is.
"He was aware I'd be arriving in London this week," she said, "but we hadn't yet fixed upon a day for me to call. I dare say I should have made an appointment."
"It mightn't have done you any good."
Mr. Keane ushered her up a narrow staircase and down an equally narrow hall to a small anteroom. It was warm and snug, equipped with a set of comfortable-looking chairs and a low wooden table.
"Do have a seat. Your brother shouldn't be too much longer."
His head tilted slightly at the sound of a raised voice drifting through the closed door of Mr. Finchley's office.
"I give it another 10 minutes.
Jenny lifted her brows. She couldn't make out the words being exchanged behind the door, but the raised voice was definitely female. She reminded herself again that Mr. Finchley's affairs were none of her business. Even so,